Chapter 2. The Rothschilds. Let me but issue and control a nation's money, and I care not who writes its laws. Mayor Angel Bauer, Rothschild. In its issue of Dec. 19,1983, Forbes magazine noted that half of Germany's top 10 banks are Frankfurt-based. The modern world's financial system, an updating of the Babylonian monetary system of taxes and money creation, was perfected in Frankfurt on Main, in the province of Hesse. Mayor Ansgar Bauer, later Rothschild, discovered that, although loans to farmers and small businesses could be profitable, the real profits lay in making loans to governments. Born in Frankfurt in 1743, Mayor Ansgar married Gutta Schnapper. He served a three-year apprenticeship in Hanover at the Bank of Oppenheim. During this period, he had occasion to be of service to Lieutenant General Baron von Estorff. Von Estorff was the principal advisor to Landgrave Frederick II of Hesse, the wealthiest man in Europe. Frederick was worth from 70 to 100 million florins, much of it inherited from his father, Wilhelm VIII, brother of the King of Sweden. Baron von Estorff advised the Landgrave that Mayor Amskill showed an uncanny ability to increase money through his investments. The Landgrave immediately sent for him. At this time, King George III was trying to put down the American Rebellion. His troops were being outfought by the hardy Americans, who were accustomed to wilderness battles. Mayor Amskill arranged for King George to hire right square bracket 6,800 sturdy young Hessian soldiers from the Landgrave, a considerable addition to the Hesse's fortune. This advantageous relationship came to a halt with the sudden death in 1785 of the Landgrave, who was only 25 years old. However, Mayor Amskill attained absolute influence over his successor, Elector Wilhelm I, who, like Mayor Amskill, had also been born in 1743. It was said that they were like two shoes, so well did they go together. It was a pleasant change from Mayor Amskill's relationship with the former Landgrave, who had been a very difficult and demanding person. In fact, the Landgrave's sudden death had luckily placed Mayor Amskill in charge of the largest fortune in Europe. As he prospered, Mayor Amskill placed a large red shield over his door of the house in the Judengasse, which he shared with the Schiff family. He took the name Rothschild from his sign. In 1812, when he died, he left 1 billion francs to his five sons. The eldest, Anselm, was placed in charge of the Frankfurt Bank. He had no children, and the bank was later closed. The second son, Solomon, was sent to Vienna, where he soon took over the banking monopoly formerly shared among five Jewish families, Arnstein, Eskels, Giemler, Stein and Sinner. The third son, Nathan, founded the London branch, after he had profited in some Manchester dealings in textiles and dyestuffs which caused him to be widely feared and hated. Karl, the fourth son, went to Naples, where he became head of the occult group, the Alta Vendita. The youngest son, James, founded the French branch of the House of Rothschild in Paris. Thus strategically located, the five sons began their lucrative operations in government finance. Today, their holdings are concentrated in the Five Arrows Fund of Curaçao, and the Five Arrows Corporation, Toronto, Canada. The name is taken from the Rothschild sign of an eagle with five arrows clutched in its talons, signifying the five sons. The first precept of success in making government loans lies in creating a demand, that is, by taking part in the creation of financial panics, depressions, famines, wars and revolutions. The overwhelming success of the Rothschilds lay in their willingness to do what had to be done. As Frederick Morton writes in the preface to the Rothschilds, for the last 150 years, the history of the House of Rothschild has been to an amazing degree the backstage history of Western Europe. Because of their success in making loans not to individuals but to nations, they reaped huge profits. Point. Someone once said that the wealth of Rothschild consists of the bankruptcy of nations. In The Empire of the City, B.C. Nuth says, the fact that the House of Rothschild made its money in the great crashes of history and the great wars of history, the very periods when others lost their money, is beyond question. Point. On July 8, 1937, the New York Times noted that Professor Wilhelm, a German historian, had said, the Rothschilds introduced the rule of money into European politics. The Rothschilds were the servants of money who undertook to reconstruct the world as an image of money and its functions. Money and the employment of wealth have become the law of European life. We no longer have nations, but economic provinces. On June 4, 1879, the New York Times noted, Baron Lionel N. D. Rothschild, head of the world-famous banking house of Messrs. Rothschild & Company, died at the age of 71. He was son of the late Baron N. M. Rothschild, who founded the house in London in 1808 and died in 1836. His father came to the conclusion that in order to perpetuate the fame and power of the Rothschilds, which had already become worldwide, it was necessary that the family be kept together and devoted to the common cause. In order to do this, he proposed that they should intermarry and form no marital unions outside the family. A council of the heads of the houses was called at Frankfurt in 1826, and the views of Baron Nathan were approved. John Reeves, in his authorized biography, The Rothschilds, the Financial Rulers of Nations, noted that, when the family met in London in 1857 for the marriage of Lionel's daughter Leonora to her cousin Alphonse, son of James Rothschild of Paris, Disraeli, Prime Minister of England, declared, "Under this roof are the heads of the family of Rothschild, a name famous in every capital of Europe and every division of the globe. If you like, we shall divide the United States into two parts, one for you, James, and one for you, Lionel. Napoleon will do exactly and all that I shall advise him." This was the political origin of the American Civil War. The Rothschilds feared the rapidly growing and increasingly prosperous free American Republic, and they privately resolved that it would be less of a danger to their worldwide interests if it were broken up into two smaller and weaker nations. In The Rothschilds, The Financial Rulers of Nations, John Reeves writes, "The first occasion in which Nathan assisted the English government was in 1819, when he undertook the loan of $60 million from 1818 to 1832. Nathan issued eight other loans totaling $105,400,000. He subsequently issued 18 government loans totaling $700 million. Thought Rothschilds, nothing could have occurred more propitiously than the outbreak of the American Revolt and the French Revolution, as the two enabled them to lay the foundation of the immense wealth they have since acquired. The House of Rothschild was, and is, the ruling power in Europe, for all the political powers were willing to acknowledge the sway of the great financial despot, and, like obedient vassals, pay their tribute without murmur. Its influence was so all-powerful that it was a saying, no war could be undertaken without the assistance of the Rothschilds. They rose to a position of such power in the political and commercial world that they became the dictators of Europe. To the public, the archives of the family, which could throw so much light upon history, are a profound secret, a sealed book kept well hidden. On July 27, Mazzini said, Rothschild could be king of France, if he so desired. The Jewish Encyclopedia noted, 1909 edition, in the year 1848 the Paris house of Rothschild was reckoned to be worth 600 million francs, as against 352 million francs held by all the other Paris bankers. Professor Wemmer Sumbert wrote, the principal loan floaters of the world, the Rothschilds, were later the first railway kings. The period of 1820 onwards became the age of the Rothschilds, so that at the middle of the century it was a common dictum, there is only one power in Europe and that is Rothschild. Jews and modem capitalism. Hearst's Chicago Evening American commented, Dec. 3,1923, the Rothschilds can start or prevent wars. Their word could make or break empires. Reeves notes, the fall of Napoleon was the rise of Rothschild. Napoleon was later slowly poisoned to death with arsenic by Rothschild agent. They had no need of another return from exile. The New York Evening Post noted July 22, 1924, the Kaiser had to consult Rothschild to find out whether he could declare war. Another Rothschild carried out the whole burden of the conflict which overthrew Napoleon. The Kaiser's Chancellor, Bethmann Hollweg, who actually precipitated World War I, was a member of the Frankfurt banking family, Bethmann, and a cousin of the Rothschilds. After the fall of Napoleon, Salomon persuaded the ruler of Austria to issue patents of nobility to the five brothers. The Congress of Vienna was the emergence of the moth from its cocoon. The diktat of this Congress was a simple one: the aristocracies of Europe must submit to our will, or they are doomed. The death sentence upon the noble lines of Europe was pronounced by those who had the will to carry out their edict. It took another century to perfect the work, not because the killers were weak, but because they wished to proceed cautiously, without revealing their full strength. In combat, the decisive weapon is the one your opponent does not know about. It was not necessary to pronounce a death sentence upon the ruling families of America, because there were none. During the 19th century, a few descendants of colonial entrepreneurs had amassed wealth, and could afford a life of leisure and travel. They remained slavishly dependent upon continental arbiters in every matter requiring personal taste and judgment. Because they had no guiding philosophy, and no program, this American upper class never made it to the top of the stairs. They remained below stairs, as servants of the London princes of the world order. Their self-abasement not only manifested itself in an unusually high rate of suicide, but also in the slower forms of self-destruction, alcoholism, drug addiction, and homosexuality. 10. Homosexuality is not so much a type of sexual drive, as it is the expression of deeper needs, the desire for self-degradation, or the seeking of a partner whom one can humiliate and degrade. It could hardly be unexpected that such a ruling class would eagerly hail the 20th century crusade to enthrone communism, as the vehicle of the world order. In their quest for wealth, the Rothschilds did not overlook either the small farmer or the stockpiling and wholesaling of grain. They developed a farm loan system which has been the curse of the farmers for more than a century. R.F. Pettigrew noted in the British Guardian, "This system of banking, causing the ultimate ruin of all those who cultivate the soil, was the invention of Lord Overstone, with the assistance of the Rothschilds, bankers of Europe." One of their greatest triumphs was the successful outcome of the Rothschilds' protracted war against the Russian imperial family. The family name of the Romanovs was derived from Romanova, New Rome. It embodied the ancient prophecy that Moscow was to become the New Rome. The family originated with Prince Prus, brother of Emperor August of Rome, who founded Prussia. In 1614, Michael became the first Romanov Tsar. After the fall of Napoleon, the Rothschilds turned all their hatred against the Romanovs. In 1825, they poisoned Alexander I. In 1855, they poisoned Nicholas I. Other assassinations followed, culminating on the night of November 6, when a dozen Red Guards drove a truck up to the Imperial Bank building in Moscow. They loaded the Imperial jewel collection and $700 million gold, loot totaling more than $1 billion. The new regime also confiscated the 150 million acres in Russia personally owned by the Tsar. Of equal importance were the enormous cash reserves which the Tsar had invested abroad in European and American banks. The New York Times stated that the Tsar had $5 million in guarantee trust, and $1 million in the National City Bank. Other authorities stated it was $5 million in each bank. Between 1905 and 1910 the Tsar had sent more than $400 million to be deposited in six leading New York banks, Chase, National City, Guarantee Trust, J.P. Morgan, Hanover, and Manufacturers Trust. These were the principal banks controlled by the House of Rothschild through their American agents, J.P. Morgan, and Kuhn, Leib Company. These were also the six New York banks which bought the controlling stock in the Federal Reserve Bank of New York in 1914. They have held control of the stock ever since. The Tsar also had $1.15 million in four English banks. He had $35 million in the Bank of England, $25 million in Barings, $25 million in Barclays, and $30 million in Lloyd's Bank. In Paris, the Tsar had $100 million in Banque de France, and $80 million in the Rothschild Bank of Paris. In Berlin, he had $132 million in the Mendelssohn Bank, which had long been bankers to Russia. None of these sums has ever been disbursed, at compound interest, since 1916, they amount to more than $50 billion. Two claimants later appeared, a son, Alexis, and a daughter, Anastasia. Despite a great deal of proof substantiating their claims, Peter Kurth notes in Anastasia that Lord Mountbatten put up the money for court battles against Anastasia. Although he was Empress Alexandra's nephew, he was the guiding force behind Anastasia's opposition. The Battenbergs, or Mountbattens, were also related to the Rothschild family. They did not wish to see the Tsar's fortune reclaimed and removed from the Rothschild banks. Kurth also notes in a 1959 series on the history of the great British banks, for example, the Observer of London remarked of Baring Brothers, the Romanovs were among their most distinguished clients. It is affirmed that Baring's still holds a deposit of more than £40 million that was left them by the Romanovs. Anthony Sampson, editor-in-chief, said no protests were made. This story is generally considered to be true. In the early 19th century, the Rothschilds began to consolidate their profits from government loans into various business ventures, which have done very well. Fortuitous trading on the London Stock Exchange, after Waterloo, gave Nathaniel Mayer Rothschild a sizable portion of the consols, which formed the bulk of the deposits of the 12 Bank of England. Joseph Wetzberg notes, I and the merchant bankers, there is the Sun Alliance Life Insurance Company, most aristocratic of all insurance companies, founded by Nathan Rothschild in 1824, Brinco, the British Newfoundland Corporation, founded by the British and French Rothschilds in 950 to the Anglo-American Corp. Bowater, Rio Tinto and others. Not only does the bank rate of the Bank of England affect the interest rates in other nations, the price of gold also plays a crucial role in the monetary affairs of nations, even if they are no longer on the gold standard. The dominant role played by the House of Rothschild in the Bank of England is augmented by another peculiar duty of the firm, the daily fixing of the world price of gold. The News Chronicle of Dec. 12-1938 describes this ritual. The story of the gold fixing has often been told. How every weekday at 1-1 a.m. the representatives of five firms of bullion brokers and one firm of refiners meet at the office of Messrs. Rothschild, except on Saturday, and there fix the sterling price of gold. There is, however, a great deal of activity which lies behind his final act this centralization of the demand for, and the supply of gold in one office and the fixing of the price of gold on that basis. A price of gold is first suggested, probably by the representative of Messrs. Rothschild, who also acts for the Bank of England and the Exchange Equalization Account. The banking houses privileged to meet with the Rothschilds to set the world price of gold are known as the Club of Five. In 1958, they were in M. Rothschild, Samuel Montague, McCabe and Goldsmith, Sharps Pixley, and Johnson, Matthey. In 1961, the London accepting houses operating by approval of the Governor of the Bank of England were Barings, Brown, Shipley, Arbuthnot Latham, W. M. Brands and Sons, Erlangers, Anthony Gibbs and Company, Guinness Mahone Hawkins, S. Jaffet, Klein Wart and Sons, Lazard Brothers, Samuel Montague, Morgan Grenfell in M. Rothschild, M. Samuel, J. Henry Schroeder, and S. G. Warburg. These chosen firms rule the financial establishment in the City of London. 13. In 1961, the leading business groups in England were listed by W. M. M. Clarke as 1. Morgan Grenfell Limited, Lord de Sester, the Peabody J.P. Morgan firm 2. Jardine Matheson 3. Rothschild Samuel Oppenheimer, comprising Rio Tinto, British South Africa Company Shell Petroleum, Brinco, British Newfoundland Corporation, 4. Lazard Brothers, Shell, English Electric, Canadian Eagle Oil 5. Lloyds Bank 6. Barclays Bank 7. Peninsular and Orient Lines 8. Cunard 9. Midland Group Eagle Star, Higginson, Cavendish Bent Inc. 10. Prudential 11. Imperial Chemical Industries 12. Bowater 13. Courtaulds 14. Unilever. Although this list shows the Rothschild Group as only one of 14, in fact they hold large positions or influence in the other groups of this list. In 1982, the principal directorships held by the London Rothschilds were Lord Rothschild in M. Rothschild and Sons, Arkin in the Curso CHM in Rothschild's continuation, and Rothschild Incorporated, USA. Edmund Leopold D. Rothschild in M. Rothschild and Sons, Alfred Dunhill Limited, Rothschild continuation, Rothschild Trust, Rothmans International CHM in Tokyo Pacific Holdings N.V., Baron Eric Rothschild M-N.M. Rothschild and Sons, Evelyn D. Rothschild M-CHM in M. Rothschild and Sons, De Beers Consolidated Mines Limited, South Africa, Eagle Star Insurance Company CHM in The Economist Newspaper Limited, IBM UK Limited, La Banque Privée S. Manufacturers Hanover Limited, Rothschild Continuation Limited, CHMN United Race Courses LTD, Leopold and Rothschild NM, Rothschild and Sons, Alliance Assurance Company, Bank of England, The London Assurance, Rothschild Continuation LTD, Rothschild Continuation Holdings AG Switzerland, Sun Alliance and London Assurance Company, Sunny Insurance Office Limited. The British firms comprising the major basis of the Rothschild fortune are Sun Alliance Assurance, Eagle Star, De Beers, and Rio Tinto. Eagle Star's directors include Duncan McKinnon, of Hambro Investment Trust, Earl Cadogan, whose mother was a Hambro, Sir Robert Clark, CHMN Hill Samuel Company, Marquis Linlithgow, Charles Hope, whose mother was a Milner M-he married Judith Baring. 14. Evelyn D. Rothschild, and Sir Ian Stewart of Brown Shipley Company, who has been Parliamentary Private Secretary to the Chancellor of the Exchequer since 1979. De Beers' directors include Harry F. Oppenheimer, Sir Philip Oppenheimer, A.E. Oppenheimer, N.F. Oppenheimer, Baron Evelyn D. Rothschild, and Sidney Spiro. Spiro is also a director of Rio Tinto, Hambro's Bank, Barclays Bank, and Canadian Imperial Bank of Commerce. De Beers interlocks with Anglo-American Corporation of South Africa, of which Harry F. Oppenheimer is chairman, and Anglo-American Gold Investment Company, of which Julian Ogilvie Thompson is chairman, and Harry F. Oppenheimer director. De Beers interlocks with Hambro's Bank, whose CHMN is Jocelyn Hambro. Directors are R.N. Hambro, C.E. Hambro, Honorable H.W. Astor, Sir Ian Morrow, CHMN Yuko Int and the Laird Group, International Harvester, Rolls-Royce, and the Brush Group, J.M. Clay, Director of the Bank of England, Mark Weinberg, and Sidney Spiro. Rio Tinto S.CHMN is Sir Anthony Tuke, he is also CHMN Barclays Bank, and Member Trilateral Commission. Directors are Lord Shackleton, Lord Privy Seal, CHMN RTZ Div Corporation, Lord Charteris of Annisfield, grandson of Earl of Wemyss, married to daughter of Viscount Murchison, private secretary to Queen Elizabeth, director of Claridge S Hotel and Connaught Hotel, Sir David Orr, CHMN Unilever, and Sidney Spiro, Hambro's Bank. The firm now trades as RTZ Corporation. Described as a Rothschild holding company on mining deals which in July 1, 1989 bought British Petroleum worldwide mining rights for $3.7 billion, the biggest ever private deal between two British companies. The principal Rothschild firm is Sun Alliance Assurance, which Nathan Bayer Rothschild founded in 1824, with Sir Alex Baring, Samuel Gurney, and Sir Moses Monteithier, with an initial capital of £5 million. CHMN of Sun Alliance is Lord Aldington, Toby Lowe, who is also CHMN Westland Aircraft, Director of Citibank, Citicorp, and JLTD Lord Aberconway, DEP CHMN HVA. Lambert. 15. CHMN Barclays Bank, Earl of Crawford, Robert A. Lindsay, whose mother was a Cavendish M-he is also CHMN National Westminster Bank, former private secretary to the Secretary of Treasury. Minister of State for Defense, Minister of State for Foreign and Commercial Affairs, Lord Astor, whose mother was the daughter of Earl of Minto, he is the former chairman of the Times, Sir Charles Ball, of Kleinwort Benson, also director of Chubb and Sons, Barclays Bank, Cadbury Squep, Sir Alan Dalton, director NatWest Westminster Bank, Duke of Devonshire, his mother was a Cecil, one of England's three ruling families, since the Middle Ages, Sir Derek Holden Brown, CHMN Allied Breweries, director Hiram Walker, J.N.C. James, trustee Grosvenor Estates, which owns large sections of London, Henry Kazak, CHMN Mason and Company, Lord Kinversley, executive, director of Lazard Brothers, director of Marconi, English Electric, British Match, Swedish Match, Sir Peter Matthews, CHMN Vickers, J.M. Ricky, CHMN British Anchorage, director of Vickers, Bowater Limited, Evelyn D. Rothschild, CHMN N.M. Rothschild and Sons. The Rothschilds have had a large position in Vickers for many years. CHMN is Sir Peter Matthews, also Director Lloyds Bank and Sun Alliance. Directors are T. Neville, Baron Braybrooke, Earl of Warwick, the Salisburys, one of three ruling families in England, Sir Alastair Frame, Chief Executive. Rio Tinto's Inc., Director of Plessy and Company. UK, and the Atomic Energy Authority. CHMN of Vickers in 1956 was Edward Knollys, son of the private secretary to King Edward VII 40 years, and George V 5 years. For more than a century, a widespread belief has been deliberately fostered in the United States that the Rothschilds were of little significance in the American financial scene. With this cover, they have been able to manipulate political and financial developments in this country to their own advantage. In 1837, the Rothschilds let their American representative W.L. and M.S. Joseph go bankrupt in the crash, while they threw their cash reserves behind a newcomer, August Belmont, and their secret representative, George Peabody of London. Birmingham notes in O.U.R. Crowd, in the panic of 1837, Belmont was able to perform a service which he would repeat in 16. Subsequent panics, thanks to the hugeness of the Rothschild reservoir of capital, to start out in America operating his own Federal Reserve system. After 1837, August Belmont, Schonberg was publicly advertised in the financial press as the American representative of the Rothschilds. When Belmont participated in a financial operation, everyone knew that the Rothschilds were involved. When Belmont took no part, and the transaction was handled by J.P. Morgan and Company, and or by Kuhn, Leib Company, everyone knew that the Rothschilds were not involved. George Peabody had established his business in England through his connection with Brown Brothers, now Brown Brothers Harriman, and Brown, Shipley. He had become an unidentified agent for Lord Rothschild as early as 1835. Although there is no statue of George Peabody in the Wall Street area, there is one in London, just opposite the Bank of England. George Peabody became the favorite American of Queen Victoria. His old lunchbox occupies a prominent place in the London office of Morgan Stanley to this day. By 1861, George Peabody had become the largest trader of American securities in the world. To put pressure on the Lincoln government, he began unloading them and driving prices down. At the same time, J.P. Morgan, allied with Morris Kitchum, was depleting the American gold supply by shipping it to England. He ran the price from $126 ounce to $171 ounce, reaping a good profit, and putting more financial pressure on the Lincoln government. This was one of many financial operations directed by the Rothschilds for their own political and financial goals. As George Peabody had no son to take over his firm, he took on Junius Morgan as partner. Junius' son John Pierpont Morgan became known as the most powerful banker in the world, although his principal role was to secretly carry out commissions for the House of Rothschild. Morgan was a direct descendant of Alexander Hamilton, who had chartered our first central bank, the Bank of the United States, at the behest of Rothschild interests. The New York Times, October 26, 1907, noted in connection with J.P. Morgan's actions during the Panic of 1907, in conversation with the 17. New York Times correspondent, Lord Rothschild paid a high tribute to J.P. Morgan for his efforts in the present financial juncture in New York. He is worthy of his reputation as a great financier and a man of wonders. His latest action fills one with admiration and respect for him. This is the only recorded instance when a Rothschild praised any banker outside of his own family. On March 28, 1932, the New York Times noted, London, N.M. Victor Rothschild, 21-year-old nephew of Baron Rothschild, is going to the United States soon to take a post with J.P. Morgan and Company, it was learned tonight. It is usual for progressive British bankers to send their young men to Western states temporarily, one of the most notable believers in the practice being the Anglo-American banking house of J. Henry Schroeder and Company. The Morgan-Rothschild connection explains the otherwise incomprehensible mystery of why J.P. Morgan, famed as the most powerful banker in the world, left such a modest fortune at his death in 1913, a mere $1 million, after his debts were secured. Although the present members of the Morgan family seem financially secure, none of them is counted among the big rich. In Brandeis, A Free Man's Life, Orpheus T. Mason notes, young Adolph Brandeis, Justice Brandeis' father, arrived in New York, traveled for a while in the East and then went on to the Midwest. Young Brandeis' pleasure and facility interval were greatly enhanced by the companionship of a young friend of the Weddells then on a business trip to the United States to secure information about American investments for the House of Rothschild. Thanks to his companion's contacts and letters of introduction, Adolf saw places and met people not accessible to most foreigners. Birmingham notes in O.U.R. Crowd, in the autumn of 1874, Baron Rothschild summoned Isaac Seligman to his office and some $55 million of U.S. bonds were to be offered by three houses, the House 18 of Seligman, the House of Morgan, and the House of Rothschild. This was the first time that the Seligmans had been asked to participate in an issue with the Rothschilds. They were more than grateful, and thus another ally of the Rothschilds began to operate in America. A notable advantage of J.P. Morgan's work for the House of Rothschild was the carefully cultivated belief that Morgan, if not openly anti-Semitic, avoided participating in operations with Jewish banking firms, and that his firm would not hire anyone of Jewish background. It was the same deception which Nathan Mayer Rothschild had hired Morgan's predecessor, George Peabody, to perform in London. It was a traditional belief on Wall Street that, if you wished to deal with a Gentiles-only firm, you went to J.P. Morgan. If you wanted a Jewish firm, there were a number of houses available, but the most influential, by far, was Kuhn, Leib Company. In either case, the customer was never made aware that he was dealing with an American representative of the House of Rothschild. Jacob Schiff, who brought the Kuhn, Leib firm to its preeminent role in American finance, was born in the Rothschild house at 148 Judengasse, Frankfurt, which the Rothschilds shared with the Schiff family. In 1867, Abraham Kuhn and Solomon Leib, two Cincinnati dry goods merchants, founded the banking house of Kuhn, Leib. In 1875, Jacob Schiff arrived from Frankfurt to join the firm. He married Therese, Solomon's daughter. He also brought a large amount of Rothschild capital into the firm, enabling it to expand tenfold. In 1885, Leib retired. Jacob Schiff ran the firm from 1885 to 1920, when he died. At no time has the House of Rothschild ever indicated publicly that it had any interest in the firm of Kuhn, Leib Company George R. Conroy stated in Truth Magazine, Boston, Dec. 16, 1912, Mr. Schiff is head of the great private banking house of Kuhn, Leib & Company, which represents the Rothschild interests on this side of the Atlantic. He has been described as a financial strategist and has been for years the financial minister of the great impersonal power known as Standard Oil. He was hand in glove with the Harrimans, the Goulds and the 19. Rockefellers in all their railroad enterprises and has become the dominant power in the railroad and financial world of America. This is one more revelation of the hidden power of the Rothschild interests in America. Not only has it directed the Rockefeller enterprises from the time that National City Bank of Cleveland, a Rothschild bank, financed the early expansion of Rockefeller, South Improvement Company, which enabled him to crush his competitors through illegal railway rebates, but it has also been the power behind the scenes of the Harriman fortunes, now Brown Brothers Harriman. It explains the frequent appointments, never elections, of W. Averell Harriman, the dominant power in the Democratic Party, while his partner's son, George Bush, is the Republican president. It explains the secret writing of the Federal Reserve Act by Paul Warburg of Kuhn, Leib & Company, and the even more secret deals which caused it to be enacted into law by Congress. It explains how the United States could fight World War I with Paul Warburg in charge of its banking system through the vice chairmanship of the Federal Reserve Board, Bernard Baruch, as dictator of American industry, as chairman of the War Industries Board, and Eugene Meyer financing the war through his position as chairman of the War Finance Corporation, printing government bonds in duplicate. Kuhn, Leib partner Sir William Wiseman with Colonel House correlated British and American intelligence operations, Kuhn, Leib partner. Louis L. Strauss was acting head of the U.S. Food Administration under Herbert Hoover. Meanwhile, Paul S. brother, Max Warburg, headed the German espionage system. Another brother was German commercial attaché in Stockholm, traditional listening post for warring nations, and Jacob Schiff had two brothers in Germany who were financing the German war effort. It was a classic case of a managed conflict, with the Rothschilds manipulating both sides from behind the scenes. At the Versailles Peace Conference, Bernard Baruch was head of the Reparations Commission. Max Warburg, on behalf of Germany, accepted the reparations terms, while Paul Warburg, Thomas Lamont and other Wall Street bankers advised Wilson and the Dulles brothers on how American interests should be handled at this all-important diplomatic conference. 20. The Rothschilds had decided upon the formula of a managed conflict for the First World War because of the difficulty they had encountered in defeating the Boers from 1899 to 1901. After illegally annexing the Transvaal in 1881, the British had been turned back with a resounding defeat at Majuba by Paul Kruger. In 1889, because of the discovery of vast wealth in gold and diamonds in South Africa, the Rothschilds came back to loot the nation with 400,000 British soldiers pitted against 30,000 irregulars, that is, farmers with rifles, whom the Boers could put into the field. The Boer War was started by Rothschild's agent, Lord Alfred Milner, against the wishes of a majority of the British people. His plans were aided by another Rothschild agent, Cecil Rhodes, who later left his entire fortune to the furtherance of the Rothschild program, through the Rhodes Trust, a by no means infrequent denouement among Rothschild agents, and the basis of the entire Foundation Empire today. The British thought no prisoners, scorched earth war, destroying farms, and mercilessly shooting down Boers who tried to surrender. It was in this war that the institution of concentration camps was brought to the world, as the British rounded up and imprisoned in unsanitary, fever-ridden camps anyone thought to be sympathetic to the Boers, including many women and children, who died by the thousands. This genocidal policy would next be used by the Rothschild-financed Bolsheviks in Russia, who adopted the Boer War concept to murder 66 million Russians between 1917 and 1967. There was never any popular reaction to either of these atrocities, because of the control of media which makes discussion of these calamities a taboo subject. The career of Lord Alfred Milner, 1854-1925, began when he was a protege of Sir Evelyn Baring, the first Earl of Cromer, partner of Baring Brothers, bankers, who had been appointed Director General of Accounts in Egypt. Baring was then the financial advisor of the Khedive of Egypt. Since 1864, Milner had been active in the Colonial Society, founded in London in that year. In 1868, it was renamed the Royal Colonial Institute, and was heavily financed by Barclays Bank, and by the Barings, Sassoons and Jardine Matheson, all of whom